Not my will, but thy will be done. It's not a phrase that I've used often in my life, to my shame. Frankly, my life's refrain seems to be very often the opposite of that. From little on, I sang the same familiar song, the same song that my parents sung and their parents before them. It's a song that was never taught, one never has to learn. A song you might call natural. The song starts off simple. A simple tune with simple gestures. A tiny little fist that opens and closes to the one word rhythm, mine, mine, mine. With time, the song refines. Its chords multiply, its melodies amplify, its harmonies beautify until it's something that's at least a little bit presentable, something worthy of the world stage. However, when it makes its public debut, I come to find out that my solo, self-centered symphony isn't the globe's only tune. I'm not special. And oh, how that irritates me. It turns out everyone sings a similar song, and the songs are almost identical, but they're just different enough that their proximity causes dissonance. It just doesn't sound right. These self-centered symphonies don't play well together, like two adjacent competing chords that combine to create an ear-piercing racket. This discord of the sin symphony will never do. There's only one way to stand out, to be heard over the chaos, and that's to sing louder, to sing more often, to sing better. And so we try. We try every single day to refine that sinful song, always determined to justify that we are worth listening to, we are worth remembering, we are worth caring about, all the while forgetting just how fast every single note seems to disappear. Always forgetting that it fades so quickly in the cacophony of competing voices, fully aware that if we don't get recognized, we too are going to fade if we don't get what's rightfully mine. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. These are the words of a man that is not unfamiliar with the sinful song. And these are words that do stand out among the self-centered symphonies. And though the words are jarring, it sounds to me that King David, Israel's greatest king, was on to something. Could it be that the dissonance of our songs isn't created by the melody or the lyrics, but it's actually the singers? Could it be that there's something so dark, so deep in each and every one of these creatures that we call human beings, that each one is destined, no, worse than that, condemned to sing the sinner's song? We know it to be true, right? We've sung the song all of our lives, whether we were infants with mouths that screamed for toys that didn't actually belong to us, or toddlers that had tongues that cried and complained when they didn't get their way, or when we had juvenile words that were laced with lies, or adolescent lips that spewed gossip, or teenage shouting that was full of anger, or adult discussions that demonstrated our disgust for God and for the world. Thy will be done? No, no, no. My will be done. The forbidden cookie before dinner time? My will. Sex before marriage? My will. Money before integrity? My will. Rudeness before kindness? My will. Sin before goodness? My will be done. This natural song comes from what can best be described as a sinful nature. Something is wrong with us, terribly wrong. And it's not something that can be excused with the common axiom that no one's perfect, it's okay. It's not something that can be explained away by ignorance or circumstance. We are broken, condemned to skip like a fractured record, repeating the same refrain over and over and over again. My will be done. Don't believe me? Look back at the Garden of Gethsemane and see. The sleeping students, the kissing betrayer, the arresting soldiers, the vengeful friend, all of them incapable of resisting the tempter-wrought temptation, all of them succumbing to the hereditary disease that is our sinful nature passed down from one generation to the next. And though it might drive us insane, we're all the same. The disciples, Judas, the soldiers, Peter, and us. Our songs might tell different stories, but the same devilish piper plays the tune, and he's been playing people ever since the beginning, dancing his way behind the predictable sinners who are all too comfortable to recognize the faults of someone else rather than their own faults. Sinners who are all too ready to convince themselves that if they were in those shoes, those messed up shoes, the ones that failed to do what was right, if it was me, I would have done it right. I would have gotten it right. I would have been better. These sinners are so quick to say, I'm good enough on my own. We know the song. We know the steps. And we would have danced ourselves to death if it wasn't for the other tune. Just like the first, this song too seems simple. It's distinct, though unassuming, just like its singer. There was seemingly nothing extraordinary about him either. He looked, walked, talked, acted, slept, breathed, just like the rest of us. And though there was seemingly nothing extraordinary about him on the face of it, there was one thing. It was his song. While the rest of the world searched for greatness, he found humility. While the rest of the world searched for riches, he found poverty. While the rest of the world sought glory, he found shame. Don't believe me? Look back at the garden. Prayer in exhaustion, encouragement in anguish, healing in peril, and the song. The song that came from human lips, produced by a human tongue, and yet a song with words unbothered and uncontaminated by that nature we call sinful. Could it be that there is one out of all of those dark, depressing, damnable creatures we call human beings, that one that sings a new song, a different song, a saving song? Though seemingly ordinary, just like his song, he is nothing but extraordinary. Don't believe me? Look back at the garden. The all-powerful taken away for slaughter. The all-knowing allowing himself to be betrayed. The all-present confined in chains. The almighty singing an unnatural, unfamiliar, unimaginable refrain that repeats over and over and over again, not my will, but thy will be done. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, thy will be done. Born of the Virgin Mary, thy will be done. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, thy will be done. Was crucified, died, and was buried, thy will be done. the voice that sang the creation into existence, condemned himself to sing the sinner's song, so that we, the sinners, could sing a new song, a different song, a song of a love unknown, of a Savior's love for you and me. And unlike our self-centered symphonies, the Savior's song does not manifest itself with discord and dissonance. No, it's quite the opposite. The more voices that leave behind the old song and join the new, the more the song swells, the more the harmonies blend, the more the beauty grows. This is the song that interrupts death's dance. This is the song that puts new steps into our feet and new words in our mouths. This is the song that unites rather than separates, the song that builds up rather than tears down. This is the song that drowns that sinful nature in gospel tides of word and sacrament and turns our refrain of "my will be done" into refrains of "thy will be done." And so, my fellow singers, two melodies now dwell inside of you, one of sin and one of salvation, one from your nature and one from your Savior. But I regret to tell you that these two songs don't play well together. And I'm afraid that this is a burden you're going to be carrying the rest of your time this side of heaven. Because your sinful nature knows death's steps really well, and it's content to dance along with the tune. So be on your guard. But not only be on your guard, don't be afraid. Because even death's dance can't stop your Savior's song. And yes, there might be times when that song is difficult to follow and its tune seems impossible to play. However, the more you repeat the song, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner," and the more you sing the refrain, "Not my will, but thy will be done," the easier you will find it to leave behind the old and follow the new. Not my will, but thy will be done. I have to say, it's something that I haven't said very often in my life. Frankly, it's often the opposite that I find myself saying. From little on, I've sung the same familiar song, the one my parents sang and their parents before them. A song that doesn't need to be taught, that doesn't need to be learned. A song that ends in death. A song that can only be described as natural. And yet, I hear even then a new song, a different song. And this song, too, was one that was sung from little on, a song sung by my parents and their parents before them, a song I had to learn, a song that someone had to teach me, a song about a Savior that, despite my sinful nature, was willing to sing his gospel song into my stony heart and melt it so that it might live and beat forever. A heart that is sustained by the one who sings a song worthy of the conqueror of death. A heart that is living and trusting and believing, that sings with all Christians of all time, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Amen.